For monumental savings, pick Papec Honda. Shop our incredible selection with over 1,100 new Hondas available. Pick a new 2020 Accord Sedan LX CVT. Lease for just $249 a month. 36 months, zero security deposit. Pick Papec Honda today. Visit us at 11151 US 49 in Gulfport or shop online anytime at papechonda.com. Stock number LA052085-1, 12,000 miles per year. $2,099 down payment, tax and fees extra. Unapproved credit through HFS. See dealer for details. N3220. Pick Papec Nissan for your next vehicle. Shop over 500 new Nissans at the only Nissan dealer in Gulfport. Right now, buy a new 2020 Rogue S for $24,074. Visit us on US 49 in Gulfport and drive home your new Nissan today. Shop our complete inventory online at PapecNissan.com. VIN LC724100, MSRP 28,180. Includes 1606, dealer discount and 2,500 Nissan customer cash. Tax, title, and fees extra. See dealer for details in 3220.
And we are live on Michael Angley Live on United Public Radio Network, where you hear it all, folks. You really do hear it all, I think, on UPRN. I think that if you're looking for it, it's here. So tonight, we're going to be talking about the gentle, gentle Democrats and their feeding frenzy. They took a little bit of Mike Bloomberg chum and chum the waters just enough for that feeding frenzy. So instead of going on there, all right, their primary objective, let's talk about primary objective. Their primary objective is to go out there and win. They want to win the presidency from Donald Trump, who is people like him. They like him even more now because of this other stuff going on with the Democrats, you know, and the fact that since Pelosi and those guys got back in there, they've done nothing but, you know, go against Trump and to try to, you know, get him for this and get him for that and everything they can do because they've got that Trump derangement syndrome. They've got that thing. But, you know, fine. You want to go investigate, whatever. Hey, if something's improper, somebody breaks the law, you should investigate them, of course. But they also have other stuff to do that is also important to the American people, right? So now you got a bunch of these guys running for president, you know, for the party that says they need more people of color, they need more of diversity, all that. They got a bunch of old rich white men and rich white women, one of them anyway, running for president. The other two, you know how I'm going to describe the debate last night, the Democratic debate like this, right? It's like an angry game of Monopoly for the old folks home. And you had two attendants, Pete Buttigieg, and then you got Amy Klobuchar, right? And it was really that these guys attacking each other. And this was Bloomberg's first foray into the whole debating process. You know, the guy hasn't run for anything or done anything in a long time, right? When he was mayor of New York, you know. And even then, I think he basically bought his election same, you know, because he's got this money and he flaunts the money. And it's kind of funny. They're like, you can't buy your way in here. Ugh. Like they're all wrapping themselves with some kind of grassroots flag saying, oh, you know, we're with the people and we're supposed to be here, but you're not supposed to be here because you're here because of the money. First of all there because of the money. They're all there using money. They're all there spending all the money that they have. But let's think about it. Barack Obama spent over $1 billion running for president, over $1 billion running for president. Okay. You know, so if you think about it in terms of all their little whiny stuff, it doesn't hold water, you know, and, you know, man, Elizabeth Warren and these people like her and Joe Biden's like, like quoting, you know, the golden rule and what's right and do what's right. And, you know, like his sheets are clean. You know what I mean? And same thing for Elizabeth Warren, who couldn't tell the truth to save her life. But she went after him on the whole misogynist thing. He called women a fat pig and, you know, said some other woman, well, go ahead and do me or really. But that's people. He's a pig. Trump's a pig, you know. There's a lot of pigs out there. Joe Biden's a pig. Joe Biden's a worse. At least these guys, but you know, want the mess with women who are adults, not just little children, feeling up little children like Biden does all the time. And you know, if you say that it's wrong, just look at all the freaking photos and videos out here. Creepy Uncle Joe doing it. But then he acts like, you know, nobody ever did anything wrong around him. Look at his son talking about money. Talking about money. And corruption. Look at him and his family and his son and the people around them. His whole five family members in the Biden family who made millions, if not billions, from his connection to the government. All right, whatever. These guys went after each other. First, they talked about, they didn't even talk about Trump. They just kind of said, we need to defeat the guy in the White House. Type it. Then they're at each other's throats, man. At each other's throats. And then at one point, Amy Klobuchar, who is you know, Midwest mentality type of person, she's a senator. She's actually on a security committee that has to do with the border security with Mexico. And then she couldn't name, you know, she brought the whole stupid thing up. She couldn't name the president of Mexico, like what his name is, right? So, and it's funny because she's kind of like trying to be stupid and laugh at herself, but nobody's doing it. You know, they're just looking at her like she's got, you know, shit for brains. And then, you know, all right, it's okay if you don't know some of the world leaders. If you're running for president, it behooves you to know your neighbors at least and what their names are. And if you're on a security committee with a border, it definitely behooves you to know the name of the president of Mexico because that's the person that you're dealing with for border security, right? But she didn't know. And it's not like she didn't know. She didn't know, but she knew she was going to go on the air and talk about this, right? She knew she was going to go on the air and she was going to have to say his name. She still didn't know his name by the time she's at that podium. She still didn't know his name, right? She had to look down at like a piece of paper, whatever she had in front of her, because she like stammered and like was acting stupidly, like, well, of course I know his name. And she looked down. Such a fake ass. She pulled a Hillary. That's like a fake Hillary type of move, you know? She looked down and then she like didn't even pronounce his name right. If I was her helper, I would have wrote like Ricky Ricardo or something, man, like Ricardo Montalban. Yeah. The president's name is Ricardo Montalban. You're like, what is it? Nobody knows anyway. You can say whatever his name is. You can say it is Mickey Mouse. People don't know. Mickey Mouse is really the president of whatever. But she made a big deal, and then it you know, you don't show your hand, man. It provided a vulnerability. So then Pete Butt Judge goes on, Judd Budge, whatever, Buddy Gig. He jumps out there and then he's like, how could you not know? Like he hissed at her. How could you not know the president of Mexico's name? Ugh, you're on the goddamn committee. And she's like, oh, you call me stupid. It was the moderator who is Latino, and she had a locus up her butt about maybe a swarm about whatever, about Amy Klobuchar, for whatever pisses her off about her. She went after her, right? And you know, she's the one who's like, what's his name? Do you not know his name? It was funny as hell, man. It was like the best debate so far, most entertaining. And then Klobuchar's like falling apart. She's like sitting there crying, starting to cry. She's biting her lip and tearing up. Oh my God. If you can't handle a little bit of fanny slapping from freaking NBC, for God's sakes, and the ilk that is behind that whole debate and everything that they do, and they don't even ask any tough questions. It's all these soft ice cream questions. So if you can't handle that little bit of smeg, you cannot handle being commander in chief of this United States of America and sit there and say, oh, I'm falling apart because I don't know something. Oh, my God. Really? She's going to cry over it? Pete Buttigieg, do you think I'm stupid? He should have been like, yeah. Actually, now that you ask, I do have an opinion about that. Stupid. But the rest of them, Joe Biden, you know what? He was like the dude trying to catch up. He was like the old guy at the party reminiscing about the old times, you know. And the only thing he's got is Barack Obama. The only thing Joe Biden can ever talk about is Barack Obama, since that's who he served under. And everybody knows that the vice president choice is always the worst possible person you could think of. So the president is pretty sick, a gangbang team effort of going after him. He's not asking for any money. He's telling people, you know, go check out my campaign. I'm not asking you for a dime. You never hear politicians, because he's rich enough to spend his money. That was his big deal. Like, I made all this money and I'm spending this money. And they basically attacked him over money, even though all these guys have their hand out for money. And they're all, you know, in the high millions of raising money for this campaign. It's obscene the amount of money they spend on these campaigns. And as Bernie Sanders up there talking about the Bloomberg and blah, 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 and there's 500,000 people sleeping on the streets. Guess what? There was yesterday. There was last week. There was a month ago. There was a year ago. All the time that this guy's been in the Senate, all the time this guy's been able to do something for somebody, nothing's ever happened. So Bernie Sanders just, you know, pushing his agenda of communism. And he says it's democratic socialism. You know, the Nazi Party was a democratic socialist party. I don't think that we need to talk about that anymore, because it's a bad idea. It doesn't work out. And then, you know, even at one point, he's like, well, you know, about the healthcare. Well, you know, Canada has a system. It seems to work for them. One, the Canadian healthcare system's falling apart, if you know anything, if you pay attention. Number two, just like NHS over in the UK. And number two, they got 30 million people in Canada. We have 330 million people here in the United States, not including how many illegals, right? Millions upon millions of them. So it really comes down to, yeah, we need a reliable healthcare system. It's a complicated answer. It really is, because different people have different needs. Then you have a whole bunch of corruption going on in hospitals and the whole process and how they make their money and what they charge you for things and how they can substantiate that charge, you know? So I think that a lot needs to be sussed out. It's nothing. Healthcare is nothing that you can just go out there and solve in 2 seconds. It's something that you need to have a real understanding of the system and what people ultimately need. And then there's a lot of money in that system getting wasted. There's money being wasted in insurance companies. There's a whole bunch of middlemen that don't belong there. And I don't want to hear anybody say, well, you know, it's jobs and whatever. That's a bullcrap answer. You know, it really comes down to being fiscally responsible with that tax money that you give the government and them supposed to be able to use it to help the betterment of mankind. We're not seeing a whole bunch of that, you know. We're not seeing the whole help mankind type of stuff. Then, you know, Sanders is up there pushing the Green New Deal. Really? It sounds like the old Red Deal. The Green New Deal, you know, going after carbon producers, oil companies, fossil fuels, and whatever. Listening to a fossil talk about fossil fuels is funny as hell. But I'll tell you, what they're talking about is eliminating real jobs, not just 5,000 or 6,000 jobs. You're talking about hundreds of thousands of people, millions, basically, that will be out of work, you know, and that's not streamlining an economy. Working with healthcare, that's putting a monkey wrench in the operation, especially in the world of transportation. And if you listen to an AOC, it seems to be she's the leader of their party. She's talking about the craziest stuff. This chick, the girl was a bartender not that long ago. And all of a sudden, she's a world economist and transportation expert and power expert and all these things. No, she's listening to people that they send her way that are supposed to know what the hell they're talking about. They're being paid to push their agenda. But is it right for the people? So what has she done for the people of Queens and the Bronx since she's been in? She has 14 people facing her down this election day. This election day, she's up, but she's very popular. They made her famous. You know, they chose her out of 1 out of 10,000 people that they chose. She didn't want to do the job. They chose her to do the job because she was the perfect person to put forward for her gender, for her race, for her background, all the stuff, man. They knew that she'd be popular because they tested the market to look for that. She didn't win an election. She ran in a primary and trounced on the guy because the guy was in there over 30 years. He was a Democrat. They didn't want him anymore, you know. And then he had sour grapes on the way out. He feels forced out, and they did force him out to put her in. There was no Republican challenger. So she just ran for office and won, you know. She didn't really run against anybody. So she's untested in the whole election process, right? Anyway. That's who they have as their squad. No representative Omar, right? There's a dude, the Somali community leader, said that Omar married her brother, right? This has been a story in the news for a long time. People have talked about this for a long time. But if we have a representative that actually married her brother to get him U.S. citizenship and break the law like that, and then not just to that, I mean, the woman's a huge hater. She's out there hating on religious groups like Christians and Jews. You can't have that. You can't do it. Why is she in there? Why is she in there? You know, why haven't they recalled her? Why haven't they fired, gotten her out of there? Whatever they got to do, whatever they have to do. Because this woman's poison for the U.S. and just because she broke the law. She broke finance laws, a whole bunch of finance laws, you know. So, you know, people don't get held accountable anymore, especially when you have a certain point of a political view, right, which is scary. In a world that has viruses going out of control, it's scary to look at the politicians that are out there that will be the ones in the front line to protect you. So, you know, we've been talking about this coronavirus, and it's just every week there's more dead. It's getting worse. It's spreading. Now, in Wuhan, they just imported 40 incinerators, industrial-grade incinerators, and they said it was for the animal carcasses because they're going around killing all everybody's pets and all the animals. It's horrible. And then most people think it's for the human bodies that have died and that China's lying. So if you're dealing with a nation that has a massive outbreak and they're lying about it, they're lying about the severity of it, then you don't know what the hell's going on. And you're looking for scraps of information. And anybody who goes forward on YouTube gets arrested and they get disappeared right away. Right away, you know. Doctors have died. 1,700 healthcare workers and more have this. So whatever, you know. I mean, like all you can do is kind of watch what goes on, you know, and there's nothing really you could do about it, you know, even about being clean and all that. Yeah, wash your hands and that type of stuff. We talked about that. It's basic, you know, but this bug was created for a reason, and it's doing what it was made to do. I like how the chatter now is like, well, it you know, probably came from that lab in Wuhan, and we don't know how, but, you know, the lab happened to be a block and a half away from their live animal market. And of course, what do we say here when it first happened? You know, what do we say here? That's what we talked about, was the bioweapons facility there. And not one thing, you know, everything that was talked about came true. So there's no reason to think anything different about the ultimate outcome. And this is going to be with us for a long time. And everywhere this virus is, it's grown since last week. You know, and Japan's got hundreds of cases now. It's got a few deaths. You know, people are dying now outside of China. Then I read one article that said there are people who survived and got reinfected, and they had heart failure immediately because the drugs that they're on that destroy some of your heart tissue to get rid of this. But then, of course, you have no white blood cells left because this virus eats your white blood cells and leaves you with your no immune system, basically. It's like, geez, man, you know? And who are we going to hold accountable? Because there's worst case scenarios you got to think about in the situation of how it got out, that whether it was on purpose or by accident, you know, on purpose. It could have been governmental. It could have been an individual actor. It could have been anything, right? In a situation like that, you don't know. This is why nobody should do it. This is why nobody should have these things. You know, nobody should be participating in bioweapons. It's just something that should be banned out of just for the sake of humanity. Ban stuff like that, you know, because it's not like you're in a war and it's a weapon. And I was watching this one guy. I like to think that I'm well informed, and I like to think that I know the way things work because I follow these things. So it's kind of like, okay, you know, you just get used to certain situations with outbreaks and whatever, and what they do and how they act and the time frame. This is real severe, real fast, real big, and it's way bigger. The deaths that they're talking about, you got to add zeros to those figures because it's way, way, way bigger than what they're saying. And a lot of people agree. But anyway, when you look at these things and then, you know, you're watching the news, whatever, Fox or something, and they have some so-called expert, you know, they had this one woman on who was just a children's doctor, you know. She clearly didn't know anything about viruses and nothing. Not how they move around, not this virus. She just basically read an article, and not even an in-depth one, just like knew a couple of just headlines and then reiterated that for the 5 minutes she was on the air for. I guess they just needed to satisfy some time. And if you're going to have people on that actually know what the hell they're talking about. And basically, the big doctors, the people from the World Health Organization and the CDC, all those people don't know anything. They all say they're baffled. They don't know anything. They don't know how it's getting around. They're not even sure of the incubation period. They quarantined people on that ship in Japan. Another 50-some-odd people got the virus, you know. So the quarantine failed. Every time they do a quarantine, it fails. I wouldn't, after the incinerator thing, and they're burning all these bodies, you know, they call that the Wuhan fog. We've heard about that. We had all the crematoriums were working overtime since this thing started, right? So how long until they really, like, destroy the whole city of Wuhan, the whole area? You know, don't think that China is beyond something like that. They certainly are within those parameters. They operate within those parameters, you know? So anyway, it really comes down to sealing them off, sealing off anything that comes out of there. If you want to try to control this outbreak, I don't know what Japan's going to do. They're already telling their people not to congregate, not to go into large areas, to stay away from one another. You know, in China, they got over half the country in lockdown, and they resurrected early communist rules that you're only allowed to talk to your family and you can't leave your town. You're not supposed to leave your block. Most of them are staying inside their homes. This is very real when you quarantine over 700 million people, you know, and then it's just, it's something that you need to pay attention to because, you know, they're like, you know, if something ever happens, you want to be able to listen to authority, right? But then you say, well, you know, who's the authority? And what are they saying? You know, are they urging you to go to some center where there's going to be a bunch of sick people or people in quarantine? You don't want to be anywhere around that. You'd rather quarantine yourself in your home. But think about goods, products, anything that's from China, any food. You know how much food gets shipped there to get processed and get shipped back? Most of the leading chicken manufacturers in the United States of America are now sending chicken to China to get processed, and then they send it back. So, and then, you know, who knows if that's even, you know, the right chicken or stuff we sent out. Like my friend Simon said, they could be sending back anything, you know, so you don't know. You don't know, but why bother? are we that hurting for workers, or are those companies like Tyson Foods willing to shave 3 or 4 cents extra in their pocket but endanger people? So frozen foods or anything like that, any kind of manufacturing, you don't know how long this bug lives and where it lives on. So last week we talked about cash, money, watching out for your dollar bills, watching out for your change, right? I posted an article about that on Facebook, talked about it with some people a little bit, you know, how to launder money. I looked up how to launder money. All those mafia stuff came out. I was like, yeah, another kind of laundry. You know what I mean? I'm like, how to clean your money. How's that? And they say, like, use a lingerie bag and you put your cash in there because, you know, the ink doesn't run off or any of that stuff. And then you throw in the washer on the hottest wash and do that type of thing. If you're really a germ phobia freak like I am, that's the kind of thing that you would do. And for change, you can just wash it and whatever. But with this bug, this is the problem. Who knows what kills it? These bugs can survive in thousands of degrees heat. And they're so small that they can latch on to anything that's floating through the air, any particle. As soap and water probably isn't going to kill it. You know, maybe bleach, yeah, something like that. But I don't think that we need to worry about that at this point in our hometowns. I think that people need to be more aware of things, I guess. It really comes down to shipments of stuff and how things get circulated, even getting your mail. You know, it depends on how it passed through and where it went. And man, now, like in South Korea, there's some cult that got themselves sick with this virus, and they're going around spreading it around, so they kill people. They think it's the apocalypse, man. So yeah, you got crazy people on top of that. You know, you're gonna have terrorists that are gonna want to spread this around. You're gonna have all types. So I don't know about locking it down. I don't know what the hell China's gonna do. I don't know what Japan's gonna do. Japan's an island, at least. But you know what? They've already got over 700 cases in Japan. And last week, I think at this time, they had maybe, 25 or 30 or something like that. So obviously, it's skyrocketing in some places. Then you're going to have your clusters, the large clusters of Chinese that they're not talking. They're not going to say a damn thing until it's too late. And that's clusters in the U.S. You're going to have clusters on the continent of Africa where they're mining and all that. So I sent a letter off to the CDC and copied in the World Health Organization talking about those clusters, and they actually answered me with a legitimate answer, and that's just some robo thing, and that they're concerned about it as well, and they're looking into it. Good, man. Every brain involved needs to work on this problem, man, you know, because it's going to get worse and worse. So think about this, too. A lot of countries that are poor are not going to be able to handle it. This thing will run rampant. It's already in India, you know? So, I mean, it's already in Egypt and also Iran. Now in Iran, they found two elderly people that were dead in their home. They contracted the virus. However, I don't know, because they're not sharing information, you know, maybe they'll tell John Kerry or something like that, but they're not telling anybody else. Now, a handful of people in Iran have this virus. So the thing is gonna, and it's about, doesn't matter what color you are, doesn't matter what religion you are, doesn't matter what country you come from, the viruses don't discriminate. The only thing the virus wants to do is live. It wants to live. It's going to bloom again. By that, I mean mutate. And usually it mutates into something way more dangerous. So and it already has, you know, I'm watching people in the news like saying, well, it's not as bad as this and it's not as bad as, you know, they compare it to Ebola. They compare it to Ebola since Ebola showed up in 1976 and all the people killed since then. Right. And they're like, well, look, you know, and it just sounds like such horse crap. You know, you're talking about something completely different. We could talk about 4,000 something people dying in China every day from poor air. Yeah, over 4,000 people a day. You know, if you, in terms of days, way more people die from poor air quality in China than this virus. But you know what's killing them, and you know basically they can control the air pollution. They don't want to. They don't care. They don't care that thousands of their people die every day. They don't care. But this virus, they're scared. They're scared for a reason, because they know that this virus was designed to grow and could be combatant. You know, one guy on Fox, he was like, well, it's definitely not a weapon because it would kill people right away, you know. And you think about a weapon, think about a war, right? If you're fighting people in a war, the most effective rifles are the ones that wound, not kill. Because if you wound a soldier, it's going to take another soldier, maybe two, to get that wounded soldier off the battlefield. So you're effectively taking out two or three people, right? Doesn't matter that you're killing them or not. It matters that you're taking them out of the battle. It matters that you're taking them down. And also causing psychological stress of seeing people wounded, bleeding out, laying on the ground, and other soldiers. There's a whole bunch of PSYOP type of stuff going on with that too, right? Otherwise, you'd have just big, giant guns and blow people away, and there'd just be bits and pieces of people left over. You know, so this thing does what it's doing. It's killing some. It's wounding others. It's causing a panic. Man, people, they've been quarantined now for quite some time. They can't leave their homes. The food is getting scarce. Every time someone comes across with some kind of video asking for help and begging the world to help, they get carried away by these so-called authorities, you know, running around. But it's Wuhan is obviously is the epicenter. I wouldn't be surprised if some kind of major thing happened there, that they're going to blame it on a gas leak. They're going to blame it on a chemical plant going up. Whatever, man. China does it all the time. They do it all the time, you know, and this is a country that, I mean, this is our time diplomatically to rise up and really separate things out with China. I think that the world should be forced to you know, use other areas for manufacturing, use other areas, whatever you think that they make, other places can make it better. And there are other countries that need the economy, you know? There's countries down south, in South America, Central America, in Africa, whatever. Everybody's got some kind of skill level that could do something, make something, some kind of factory or something, right? Where you're not fueling some communist regime that's happy to lie. And I know I have a lot of you people in China listening to this show, you know, which surprises the hell out of me that you could even listen to it, you know. But the reality is, now's the time for people to rise up against communist China. And now's the time for the sleeping dragon to wake up and become aware. You know, my respect for China is huge. It's unbelievable. I respect the old ways. And the new ways, the communism, the red tide, has nothing to do with the old ways. And people have lost a good part of their identity through this iron fist control government. So now you see what they've wrought. You see what they've become. You've seen what they've done. Now's the time to strike back. And I know that there's a lot of people in the PLA that are scared. You're scared for yourselves. You're scared for your family. And you know that China has been screwing over those veterans and not paying them, not giving them the money, and turning their backs, laughing in their faces. The Chinese nationals around here all drive a Mercedes. You know, they do pretty well for themselves going to an Ivy League school. So you guys think, the people out there, if this is, you know, this is a worldwide quest for freedom. It just feels like the whole world, man. Every country's got something that they want. They want freedom for themselves. And we all want the same stuff. Every human on the planet wants the same things. Doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter where you're sleeping tonight. We all want the same things, you know? We all want to be safe and secure in our homes. We want to be able to make a few bucks and have money in the bank. We want to be able to pay our bills. We want to be able to be comfortable in life and have your kids be comfortable and move on to have a better life. You know, you want that for your town, your village, your city, whatever the hell you got. It can be achieved because there's more of us than there are of them. You know, the big decision makers, they don't care if you live or die. They don't care what happens to you. They only care about how they look or their bottom line or their bank account or what they can extort or what they do. So now's the time. Now's the time for the whole world to help China rise up against this evil regime. Now's the time. So I'll tell you, man, I feel for those people. I feel for everything they're going through. And I also feel for the world, because this thing is not going to discriminate. It's just going to go do its business, you know? And it's really, man, I don't know how you stop something that you know nothing about. If you can identify things about the bug, that's one thing. You can maybe slow it down or stop it. Or, you know, we've seen quarantines fail over and over again. We just brought a whole bunch of people back here to the U.S., to California and Texas. It's army bases, right? I see how every hospital in the U.S. is now preparing for a pandemic. Every hospital, they wouldn't be doing that unless they had to do it. You know, this isn't just like, okay, let's get some extra face masks and a few things. You can't get any more face masks. You know, I mean, they're all sold out. The companies that make them are all in China. We rely on China for an awful lot of things. And this is going to be a wake-up call, because they're not going to stop. Even after this disaster, you know, people are going to survive, obviously. After this disaster, what do you think is going to do? Do you think it's going to stop them? Or do you think they're going to keep on going, right? They're going to keep going. And it's all about what? Who has the most money? Who's the most powerful? Who's the world power? Remember, not long ago, people were like, China is going to be the next world power. Oh, in the United States, people love to say that the U.S. is losing its power. Like, do you even get it? Do you even get it? I don't think people get it. Even our military budget, you know, and what we spend on the military. And if you look at all the other major countries, all of them, Russia, China, whatever, man. All of them, 13 of the top producing countries, and what those 13 countries spend on their military is just a little tiny percent of what we spend on our military. 13 of those other countries, just nothing compared to what we spend, right? And so you don't get nothing for that money. You get stuff for that money. And we've got bases all around the world. We've got equipment all around the world. I'm told we can bomb anybody in 2 minutes. 2 minutes. That's kind of like, this guy, be ready on the stick. You're up in the air. Find that hard to believe? There's always something. This is United States, man. We're kind of out there. You would think being out there like that, we could help more people and accomplish more goals. And it's more about a balance of power, right, than actually helping. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Then you get nuts like Bernie Sanders that he'll go in there and he'll spend nothing on the military. He will totally destroy that budget and dedicate the money to climate change, right? China wants this guy in. They're all communists together. You know, Russia wants the guy, all these people, because they know that he's going to destroy the United States. It's like a dude who stumbles in to this jewelry store that's got all kinds of great stuff, you know, and he just gives it all away. And then it's gone. And then, you know, telling people they don't have to work for things, you know, demotivating people, right? So I don't know. It's a crazy race. And every time people say, well, Bernie will never get in, people said the same thing about Trump. Oh, he'll never get in. Yeah, I still can't believe I say President Trump, you know. It's just kind of funny to me. It's just funny to me. After everybody was so certain, everybody was so sure, you know, Hillary with her deplorables and all that. And after all that, the Democrats just don't learn, do they? That debate last night. If you're not a Democrat, it was entertaining as hell. It was funny. Those guys attacking each other. They show, you know, it's supposed to be the best foot forward. A debate of ideas of who's the best foot forward, who's best to do the job. Not you called this woman a fat pig, or no, you lied about being a Native American. They didn't even bring that up about Warren. That's kind of funny to me, because she's lied, and lied again to get things. She's lied to get things, you know? And she's gotten people in trouble with her lies. Her whole thing about when she was a teacher in special ed, right? And, you know, she had gotten pregnant and she decided to leave her job, you know, so she can go home and have a kid and raise her kid for a few years and not have to work. She's a wealthy woman. She lives in a $6 million house, probably $7 million by now. Right. They have plenty of money, man. No problems there. No problem paying bills for Elizabeth Warren. You know what I mean? So she's out there on her high horse saying that the school fired her because she was pregnant, because she was starting to show and they didn't like that image and they fired her. So she took that school board and threw them under the bus, the school bus, and all those other people who worked around them. But the whole thing was a lie. The school board said they offered her, they begged her to stay, and they offered her another couple of years, you know, whatever. And then she said, oh, no, no. She even said in the news not that long ago, they have clips all over the place of her saying that she decided to leave the job. She was showing. Well, she, you know, not that she was showing, looking to leave the job. She's going home to raise, and, you know, she's pregnant. Wasn't too far off. So she, you know, with people that she worked with all that time, people that they said that they thought she was their friend. I love that statement, you know, from the school board and those people. We thought she was our friend. People like Elizabeth Warren doesn't have friends. She's a political operative. She's out for herself. She's not out there to help people. She's not there to do it for herself. Everything she says is BS. The whole story, all her little stories are BS. And then, you know, she did check the box that she's Native American. She knew she wasn't Native American. That box was made for people who are Native American to get ahead in this world. She was a wealthy white woman from Massachusetts. She checked the box. She tells a story about Oklahoma. Oh, yeah, it was another one that the family was racist in Oklahoma. And, you know, there was like a wedding and then people, her parents, they had to elope. Because, you know, the people didn't agree with who her father was marrying and that type. And they went to elope and sneak off in the middle of the night because the people were racist and bigoted and prejudiced. Meanwhile, someone fished out the newspaper article about her parents getting married, a big soiree, you know, huge party. The whole town was invited. There was people partying down. So the story that she tells is not the truth. The truth is out there. That's why you can never think about electing an Elizabeth Warren. She's not suited to be president. Bernie Sanders isn't suited to be president. Look at the freaks who are following him. They're so angry and they're attacking these other people. They brought that up and he's like, oh, I disavow any of these people. But, you know, Buttigieg said it right. He's like, it's what you encourage out of these people that follow you. Yeah, you can't control what these people do all the time, but it's the behavior that you encourage. That's the deal. And that's been the same for the whole resistors against Trump since he got in at their behavior. This Antifa and all these groups that come out and do violence, cover their faces up and do violence, and they hurt innocent people because they're angry and they have no problem hurting people and justifying it with their hate for Trump. They use it to justify all of that. Ugh, it's disgusting. It's sickening. It's sickening. And that's what's out there. That's who supports Bernie. They already said that if he doesn't get the nomination, there's going to be blood. They're going to spill blood of their own Democrats. Then they're going to go after others. Is that really what we've come down to? Is that really what goes on? So, whatever, man. Let me tell you. There is no reward for people like that. None. And they all stand in judgment. I'll leave it there on a sinister note. And we'll see what happens with Bloomberg. Some people saying he's going to drop out in a week. Some people not. He was already talking about Hillary being his vice presidential running mate. And she was like, I'm not closed to the idea. She rode in on her broom and told everybody in that room, I'll be out there. He better look out for his ass. If she's vice president, he better look in his rearview mirror. So I'll just leave it there. Oh yeah, and Trump driving out on NASCAR. I mean, can we have like sunk down to a deeper level than Trump driving around NASCAR? So yeah, yeah. Anyway, this is Michael Angley. I'm Michael Angley live on United Public Radio Network, UPRN.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 Pastors Chat. I'll see you guys next week on this year's show. Bye bye.
What? You voting for Bloomberg?
There you go.
Go Bloomberg.
I'm going to vote for Bloomberg, man.
For monumental savings, pick Papec Honda. Shop our incredible selection with over 1,100 new Hondas available. Pick a new 2020 Accord Sedan LX CVT. Lease for just $249 a month. 36 months, zero security deposit. Pick Papec Honda today. Visit us at 11151 US 49 in Gulfport or shop online anytime at PapecHonda.com. Stock number LA052085-1, 11,000 miles per year. $2,099 down payment, tax and fees extra. Unapproved credit through HFSC dealer for details. N3220. Pick Papec Nissan for your next vehicle. Shop over 500 new Nissans at the only Nissan dealer in Gulfport. Right now, buy a new 2020 Rogue S for $24,074. Visit us on US 49 in Gulfport and drive home your new Nissan today. Shop our complete inventory online at PapecNissan.com. VIN LC724100, MSRP 28,180. Includes 1606 dealer discount and 2,500 Nissan customer cash. Tax, title, and fees extra. See dealer for details. N3220.